I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are joined by our Browns beat reporter. He is the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Daryl, how's it going, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, good. We are. We just have some news from Mary Kay Cabot. Kevin Stefanski plans to retain Browns running back coach Stump Mitchell. So that's good because of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and what he wants to build there. As we move forward with some of the pieces around Kevin Stefanski, though, we still have the GM hanging over everyone's head. And the report from Mary Kay Cabot today gives a strong indicator that George Payton is at the top of that list. How do you see it, Daryl?
Well, I mean, he's the guy that I think they should hire, because of his relationship with Stefanski, and he's also got, I think, the best resume of them. The problem is he's somebody that's not easy to pry away from the Minnesota Vikings. Teams have tried in the past and failed. He's been with Rick Spielman up there for a very, very long time. In fact, they go back to when he first broke into the league, back with the Chicago Bears. Then they moved on to Miami for 6 years before, you know, landing in Minnesota, where they've been since. But I think that, you know, when you talk about the alignment and things that Browns ownership have said they would like to put together this time around with the coach and the general manager, I really think that Payton would be the best fit.
Daryl Ryder is with us. Daryl, so in your mind, that's your number one candidate, is Payton over Andrew Berry?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, Barry's got a couple of things going against him. One, he's guilty by association. While he wasn't the one making decisions in the stretch of 1-31, I mean, his evaluations were being used in the stretch of 1-31. I think that that's a little problematic. As much as I'd like him, he's also 32 years old, so he certainly doesn't have as much experience as Monty Ossenfort, who's the director of college scouting for the New England Patriots, who also interviewed along with Barry on Friday. And he certainly doesn't have the amount of personnel evaluation experience that that Payton does. And I guess that those are the two deciding factors for me, Dustin. Aside from the relationship with Kevin Stefanski, it's you know, length of experience, you know, is well as that fit.
Yeah, a lot is yet to be seen, obviously, if they do go with George Payton and then they have the Payton and Stefanski combo. But what do you think their identity would be? You know, if we talk about Sashi was analytics while cleaning out the older guys. Dorsey was clearing out some of Sashi guys while taking chances on guys with checkered past. What do you think the identity would be of a Payton-Stefanski combo?
Yeah, I may be a little bit of a hybrid between the two. You know, we've had the conversation about analytics and how, and obviously understandably so because of what happened under Sashi Brown. But, you know, I think that you would get better quality out of the personnel department from a talent evaluation standpoint. I'm still nervous about it because I had a lot of trust and belief in John Dorsey, but I would be fairly comfortable if they brought in George Payton, because yes, you know, the analytical data would matter, but also too, you know, it's a blend of the old school football scouting with the, you know, usage of modern data.
Daryl, do you have any favorites for offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator?
Well, it doesn't sound like they're going to go with your typical offensive coordinator. It sounds like they're going to go with a pass game coordinator and a run game coordinator model, which is interesting. And then, you know, there's the reports that, you know, they're going to go with the 49ers DBs coach as their defensive coordinator. And obviously, considering San Francisco's in the Super Bowl, and we've seen how well that defense as well as that secondary, you know, has played, I'd have to say that that would be a, you know, at least on paper, it seems like it'd be a pretty good fit with Stefanski.
Let's stay with the 49ers then, because I watched that game yesterday, and I've watched the entire postseason with San Francisco, and I think to myself, okay, Jimmy's not doing that much here, but he is managing the game, and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, but they revolved around, you know, a three-headed backfield. They have a ridiculously talented offensive line, though. Could the Browns pull something like that off, or are we just not here yet to say, okay, Baker, you kind of they throw maybe 15, 20 passes a game, and we'll let the running backs go ahead and win us this ball game?
Well, I know that there were some people last season in the building that felt that the Browns should have mirrored the 49ers and built off their run game instead of having Baker throw, you know, 30, 35 times a game like we saw, especially when you look at Nick Chubb's production and how successful he was, and especially when Kareem Hunt returned from suspension for the, you know, the second half of the season. And obviously there's a business decision that has to be made there, and this is part and parcel of the problem when you're constantly turning over your front office and your coaching staff. That when these decisions come up, you know, you look at the volume of former Cleveland Browns that were in the postseason this year and the success that they had in the postseason. And, you know, the Browns are going to have some decisions to make. Joe Schobert's contract's up. You know, I got to think that if Andrew Berry comes in, that Berry might, you know, want to keep him around. But if it's another GM, then I know if Dorsey was here, Schobert was probably as good as gone. And, you know, was here for a cup of coffee back, I think it was in 2015. And, you know, he had the NFC Championship, which was just absolutely incredible, you know, to watch. And so, I mean, this is the problem when you're constantly turning over your front office and your coaching staff, that you can't really develop any type of a culture or any type of a program with your players, because everybody that comes in, you know, they have their way of doing it. And again, I'm not criticizing that aspect of it. That's the way it is. Hey, you hired me to be the general manager of the team. I'm going to put the personnel on the field that I feel suits my head coach and suits my style that I believe that, you know, we should play on both sides of the ball. And so you have that natural turnover. Now the organization has said time and time again, people that I've talked to, that we're not looking to do a roster detonation here or rebuild the situation. You know, we're trying to build off of the foundation and the core of players that's here. So I am really interested to see how this thing kind of, you know, moves forward. But I really think that, you know, the Browns have the ability that, you know, if Baker's struggling or whatever, they should be able to do what the 49ers did. And one little side note, I think one of the changes you're going to see on the offensive line, besides some personnel, is I think they're going to go back to that what Kyle Shanahan did in 2014 with that zone blocking scheme. I think that returns this coming season.
Daryl, is it a big deal that Stefanski is not going to be at the Senior Bowl this week?
Well, I mean, I'm sure the organization, the front office, is going to be very well represented down there. I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, you want your coach, you want your GM to be down there. It's your first opportunity to really interact and get face-to-face with many of the prospects that are going to be available in the draft. So from that standpoint, Dustin, obviously you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. Is it the end of the world? Probably not the end of the world. There's a lot of time to go, but I would certainly understand and hear the argument, those that feel that, you know, the Browns need to have their coach and their GM down in Mobile, mm-hmm. getting in front of these prospects and getting some face time with them, because you can never have enough of that, because they're very limited, right? You got the NFLPA Bowl, I think. You got the Senior Bowl. Was the East-West Shrine Game? Then the Combine, and then you have your 30 visits that you're allowed to have to bring guys in to your team facility leading up the draft, and that's pretty much outside of your information gathering process throughout the scouting aspect of things, that's all the face-to-face time you get with these guys. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a problem, Dustin, but I think it is one, though, that they potentially could overcome at some point.
And Daryl, Dustin's at the Senior Bowl, as you know. Yeah. Is there anyone he should be watching in particular for the Browns at 10? I know you got to get over the GM, and I got to get over for Justin Herbert, because I think Herbert's going to absolutely blow his socks off. But that's a quarterback, and that doesn't do us any good right now. is there anyone, any positional type you feel like the Browns should be seeking out at number 10, so Dustin can go ahead and have those eyes perked up?
Well, they need three positions, absolutely, definitely. They need tackles, offensive tackles. They need tight ends. And they need safeties. So those are the, to me, the three key positions that they will need to address, whether it's free agency or the upcoming draft, and especially tackles. I really think that their target at 10 should be the best offensive tackle that's available to them, and if they have to trade up to get a guy before he goes off the board, because those franchise left tackles are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is an absolute priority. We saw that last year just watching that line play. I know some people are upset James Campen's not being retained and isn't going to stay. One, scheme, two, performance of the offensive line last year wasn't all that great, so we can understand if Kevin Stefanski wants to bring his own guy.
Daryl, appreciate the insight. You working the Cavs game today, buddy? Double dipping or what?
Got Cavs
yeah,
next
doing
tonight.
A little double dipping. Cavs got a big lottery game this afternoon. They're playing the Knicks. They got a game on the Knicks. So this is, I would say, losing a fifth straight for the wine and gold would not be the worst thing to happen today.
What's up with the early start time today, Daryl? What's going on?
It's MLK Day.
It's a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day. So it's a special 5 p.m. start. In fact, the Cavs actually are having. I believe it's the choir from the Word Church coming in to help out with the player introductions. It's supposed to be a special presentation before the game, so that sounds like it's going to be kind of fun. But yeah, early start time because of the holiday.
Okay, that makes sense. I forgot about we have the 76ers-Nets game going on right now. I think you got Toronto-Atlanta going on. It didn't register to me that they would even think about the Cavs as far as for any specialty game. But here we are, Daryl. Here we are.
Yes, we are. So it's like I said, it's a big one for the ping pong ball counters. And, the Cavs are, by the way, also only going to have 10 players dressed today. They're really beat up right now. And two of those players include two-way players from the G League. So not only are they struggling having lost their last four, but they're also quite shorthanded this afternoon as well. So,
all right, Daryl, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and enjoy the game, man.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's Daryl Ryder on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.